Welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project, the podcast that is designed to inspire you to truly live your very best life, all while living your life's transitions. Divorce coach, mediator, and host Paulette, alongside host and divorce attorney Sonia, help women leave behind the turmoil, confusion, and chaos of relationships and divorce. Together, they are discussing the topics that none of us talk about but really want to, and introduce you to experts in their fields of relationships, marriage, parenting, mind-body wellness, career, business, finance, healing, and transformation. Each podcast episode focuses on sharing real conversations from real-life situations. Isn't it time you thrived? Join. Let's go. Thrive in the chaos. Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project with Paulette and Sonia, your hosts. And today we are thrilled to have Jennifer Lawrence join us. Jennifer and I met through the virtual world of cyber life that we're all living. We have some things in common, and she's very different from me. So I love to bring experts, and here she is. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk to you this morning.
You're very welcome. Mm-hmm. So let's just jump right in. Your business is called Designed Divorce. Well, first of all, I love that name because we all need to design our divorce and not let it just unfold.
Absolutely. You know,
in a mess. Because if you're going to design your home, and design your, what else do we design? Anything we create, right?
Yeah. Design has a sort of a fun element to it. And I mean, I am a firm believer that divorce is the ultimate, like, hit the reset button, do over. So it's like moving into a new place. Like, you really do get to figure out who you are and who you want to be. And so, you know, I help my clients design a good foundation for that, focusing specifically on finance, because I know that's an area where a lot of my clients who are women, you know, often people see numbers and letters and financial affidavits and they freeze. And so for me, it's to bring clarity and show them that, you know, money is about freedom and opportunity to create your own path. And once you get over, you know, IRAs and RSPs in Canada and all the different names for things, it's really just about giving you some bandwidth to take care of your kids, build a life, build a business, whatever it is you want to do in this next phase of your life.
And Jen, can you tell us a little bit about, because a lot of different professionals focus on different types of women, what is your sort of ideal client?
Yeah, so I'm a CDC, Certified Divorce Coach. I'm also a CDFA, which is a Certified Divorce Financial Analyst. And so for me, it's really bringing clarity to female clients. Most of my clients tend to be stay-at-home moms who are living in, you know, pretty high-income situations. Their husband has a big job, and now he has typically decided to leave. You know, often they've been putting up with a lot of monkey business, and now he's decided to leave, and they really feel scared because, you know, they've been running the house, they've been raising the kids, they've been making a lot of the purchases for the home, for, you know, multiple properties in many cases, but they don't necessarily know how that money's coming in and where it is. And so all of a sudden, the idea of preparing a financial affidavit for their attorney, of managing their own money. Often there's a money manager, but very often it's been the husband who's dealt with that person. She may not even know him. And all of a sudden you're being peppered with all of this different terminology. And the tendency is to panic. And, you know, I live in a wealthy suburb, and I have seen more women get the divorce announcement and move out because they are in such a panic that they just don't want to look at the numbers, and they would rather leave money on the table than really look at it. They feel outgunned by their spouse who has you know, lawyers on speed dial through their work contacts, who probably deals with a lot of money in their job. And so for me, it's about leveling the playing field. It's saying, you know, I'm here to walk with you when your lawyer gives you this like scary looking Excel spreadsheet to fill out. I can help explain that, because it's like learning a new language. You know, it's like ending up in Paris and you just need to learn how to order a croissant. You know, it's really not all that complicated. I can give you a few tips as to how to figure this stuff out and decrease the panic so that you can build a great platform for your new life. I mean, money is something that lets you raise your kids well and have options for what you want to do. So I like my clients to be able to maximize that.
Jen, you live in Canada, just outside Toronto.
Yes.
And I just want to make sure that everyone out there may understand that, of course, even though each country has its own laws and guidelines, that you're able to help women and clients in both countries. So yeah, maybe you could just briefly explain, so it doesn't sound too overwhelming or scary.
As a certified divorce financial analyst, because often you'll see there are certified divorce financial analysts out there. They tend to be like working in wealth management companies, mm-hmm, or financial advisors. And that is quite country specific, because, you know, in Canada, we have our registered retirement funds are called RRSPs. You know, in the US, it's where you get into, you know, whether it's 401 for a workplace contribution plan. So there are definitely differences from country to country. Our taxes are different. The treatment of, you know, marital property can be slightly different. So as a financial neutral, if I were, say, to work in collaborative divorce as a financial neutral, I would do that in Canada. What I find for most of my clients is they really just want general knowledge about finance 101. So it's, you need retirement funds. You know, we don't have to get in depth into it. If your husband has executive compensation, you're going to hear a lot of words like, you know, RSUs, and a lot of these things have acronyms. And so for me, it's simply explaining what it is that they're going to hear from their financial expert. Because whether you do collaborative or litigate, if there's a lot of money at stake, you'll tend to have a financial expert working for you. But even then, my clients get very overwhelmed, because these are finance people who live and breathe finance. They don't live and breathe divorce, and they don't live and breathe you divorcing. So, you know, if you've had a meeting with your wealth manager and they've given you a whole bunch of terms, I can help walk you through those. And I also help with money mindset, that, you know, it's a lot of women are used to being on the receiving end of money if they've been at home. You know, the husbands sort of dictate how much they can have, how much they can access. And all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at making decisions on settlements. You're looking at managing money afterwards. You know, I want you to be knowledgeable enough that you can deal with your wealth management people in a knowledgeable way, because very often you're not going to want to have the same one that you shared with your spouse. You're going to want to go and hire your own money manager. And it's having the confidence to be able to go out and do that. So I really handhold my clients through that initial overwhelm, you know, walk you through thinking process, pros and cons of different settlement deals, and some of the logic behind that. Because sometimes attorneys and finance people, I mean, they know their stuff, but they're not always goal driven in terms of my client's personal goals. Like if I know that there's a client who, you know, the raising of the kids is finished, so they don't necessarily need that monthly support payment that they would need if they had small kids at home. And maybe they've always wanted to launch, you know, have a yoga studio or launch a catering business, or, you know, sometimes lump sum is helpful. And there's tax implications and everything else that need to be understood. But I help walk them through goals first. And then we can look at the options as a numbers basis. Because most financial professionals just look at the numbers. And if the number looks good, they don't necessarily say, but do you want to be tied to that person on a monthly basis? If the kids are, you know, in university. Do you want to still feel like you're getting an allowance if that's been something you haven't liked in your marriage? So we sort of look at the underlying emotional side of money, And what are your goals? What is your vision? And then let's start tying that to what your attorney and what your finance people are telling you about potential settlements.
I love that. So a few things I love. Number one, it's customized to the person. And I think that what you're saying, Paulette and I really believe in walking people through a process that's their own. So understanding their goals, their non-negotiables. And like you're saying, also looking at long-term, hey, do you want to get this allowance every month? There's so much, divorce is much more than a legal and financial problem. The emotional piece has to be addressed in all aspects of it. So I just think that that's fantastic, because you're exactly right. I think every professional has to kind of stay in their lane.
Yes.
And financial professionals are really good at one aspect of it, lawyers in another aspect, and the CDFA really brings in the understanding of what divorce is for each individual. That's
So, I mean, I start with a vision board, which, you know, you're not going to go into many wealth managers' offices and have them do a vision board with you. But it's like, how do you see your life? What is it that you've always wanted to do? And then structure your settlement to give you the runway, the launch pad to do that. And so, you know, I can get behind the emotion of money, the kind of psychological impact of money, because we all know if money was just money, no one would worry about it. You know, it's just an exchange of sort of energy. But we know that money is deeply psychological. So it's like, what do you want from your life? And let's try to structure something that's going to get you that.
Mm-hmm. Jen, you mentioned leveling the playing field. So how do you level the playing field? Because I've seen so many women feel like they just never have the knowledge and there's too many undercurrents and the unknowns where they really feel like they don't even know how big the pizza is. They don't even know, like, oh, there's a pizza? Like, I know I'm giving the pizza analogy of like the whole piece of the pie, right? But like,
yeah.
when you talk about that, what are some tips you can give about ways, how do you tell them to level the playing field?
A lot of what I try to, I guess, counteract is what I would call knowledge bullying. Often there's a power imbalance in relationships that I see because he's had the big job, because she's been at home. And so when you get into whether it's, you know, a mediation or a four-way meeting with attorneys, when talks turn to finance, a lot of times you'll see the person with the money, you know, and I say men because that's the dynamic I tend to see in my practice. But the more moneyed person, you know, starts throwing around these terms. And it's a way of sort of making the other person feel small and like they don't understand and they feel stupid. And it's just that kind of, I'll take care of you. I'll give you the fair deal. You need to just sit down and accept what you're given. And so for me, it's arming a person with knowledge to say, okay, you know, your spouse works here. He probably gets, you know, ISOs, RSUs. Let's go over that in advance. And then when you hear those terms, you're not a dummy. You can say to your attorney, to the mediator, I need to caucus. I need to break. I need to go outside and understand these terms better. And that's not silly or stupid. I mean, this is a totally new language and he's probably more fluent in it than you. So, you know, go into it with enough knowledge that if you need to pause to get clarity, you're going to feel confident to do that. And if you need to say, you know what, I'm going to need to think about that and get more information from my financial professional. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you're taking the wind out of the sails of someone who's trying to financially bully you. I see a lot of financial abuse in the practice. And a lot of it is just that, you know, withholding knowledge, saying, you know, the big boys are going to talk about money. You just sit there and we'll give you what, you know, we give you. And this is saying you, if you have some knowledge and you don't, you know, need to go and become a finance expert through this process, but with a little bit of knowledge, clients are more comfortable in asking for that pause, asking for their attorney to explain it. And sometimes then the attorney says, well, I don't really know either. This is crazy complicated. We need to take some time, go figure this out with the financial experts and come back. So, you know, so that when you finally do sign off on your settlement, there isn't regrets. Like I've seen in women I know who haven't gone through this process, you know, using coaching, there's so much regret because all of a sudden he's remarried, he has a beach house, you're in a townhouse, and you just think, wait a minute, what the heck just went on there? Or your retirement is compromised because you've chosen expensive depreciating assets, or you've overpaid for the matrimonial home because you don't want to kind of rock things for your kids. And he's sailing off with this huge retirement fund, free as a bird. And you might have chosen differently with a little bit more understanding. So that's what I mean by leveling the financial playing field. So it's knowledge, and it's so that you don't feel bullied in those meetings, like, oh, I should know this, but I don't, so I should just be quiet. It's saying, no, this is a really complicated financial thing that most people don't actually understand. And so it's perfectly okay for me to ask for clarity, for me to ask for some scenarios to be run so I can actually see what this is going to look like to pay my bills. Like, I actually want you to take the time and run the scenarios so I know this is how much I'm going to have a month. This is what my expenses are going to look like. So there's no surprises after you've inked the deal. Because once you've inked the deal, you've inked the deal. It might as well be in blood. It's very hard to unwind that and say, well, I just didn't understand.
Mm. Oh, Jen, where were you 15 years ago when I was about to embark?
Where was I for myself 15 years ago? I'm twice.
I bet all three of us would love to rewind maybe 5 years, 15, 20, who knows? But that's why the three of us do what we do, right? It's just fair. Hundreds, if not thousands, of course, I would love to reach hundreds of thousands and millions of women and men. I love men too, but particularly women, you know, they fall into that category. I actually, before this podcast, was on the phone for 2 hours with two separate clients about these exact issues. So I know this information is very valuable. I could, you know, go through scenario of particular different women with long-term marriage, older kids, half kids, step kids, trust funds, and confusion of, is it a marital asset? Is it not a marital asset? Well, if we've been living off that for 38 years of marriage, and that's the only income we've used for 38, I don't know, there's some sticky spots, right? And like, when was the house purchased? If you get this stripped, and then other women who they own multiple properties with their spouse, multiple vehicles, and it gets very sticky about what truly is a marital asset and what isn't. And of course, then the emotions come, and then people get psychologically attached to a truck.
Yeah.
Like, really, a truck?
Yeah.
I have a client where the husband's gone out and bought a $70,000 truck for his new girlfriend. There's, you know, it's, I don't know, it's very tricky. So get into these financial conflicts when money exactly becomes emotion and power and manipulation. The children get used as pawns. We've seen that in a whole different conversation, particularly with college accounts.
Oh, yeah.
UTMAs and UTMAs and 529s and but then putting the children aside, now the finances are getting used as pawns. And that scenario is so important because if you can't pay your bills and you can't pay your taxes because you've not made smart decisions, it's a problem. So planning ahead now is vital to the success in creating a new chapter.
Absolutely.
So I want to shift gears a little bit because you wrote a book. And I know
I've written a book on decision making. And so I definitely use that in my practice because it gets you out of the traps, like, you know, loss aversion because some people don't like to lose. And so they end up losing more because, like you say, they get stuck on like the truck or something.
Jen, isn't that exactly what divorce is? It's about wise decision making, right?
It's about good decision making.
It's not related. They are so tell us about the book.
Completely. And so my second book, which is coming out at the beginning of January, is on designing your divorce. So it walks you through a 6-step process. And again, it's about, you know, as a divorce coach, I always say there's sort of two types of divorce coaching. I'm the Band-Aid. So I'm your bleeding, and I'm going to put a tourniquet on that so that you can find an attorney. You know, how, like, do you want to mediate? Do you want collaborative? You know, some people get pushed into a more amicable process, but then it lacks the power of financial disclosure and discovery and having an attorney on your side, which if there's a power imbalance, you know, it's very helpful to have a very, very good attorney in your corner. So it's walking through what are your divorce options, and then getting you into a mindset where you have to sometimes park some of those emotions. Like, I'm all for processing and healing because I didn't do that after my first divorce, and that's why I ended up with a second divorce. But sometimes you don't have time to process everything, especially if it looks like accounts may be emptying out, things may be moving offshore. If there's a guilt window there, if he's left you and he's feeling guilty, you might still not be wanting to get out of bed. He's emotionally in a totally different place because he's been planning this for 6 months or a year. He may be feeling guilty though and willing to be a little bit more generous. So sometimes you're strategically smart to go into negotiations when you don't really feel like it. So it's about, let's put some band-aids in place. Let's get you really educated on the divorce process and on money. And let's figure out some goals and visions that you can work towards to structure a settlement that's going to help you achieve that. And then when you're sitting in your beach house with all of this behind you, there are divorce coaches who will then do the healing work with you. You know, will help you recover from narcissistic abuse and all of these things that I find my clients are going through. But first, you need to get there. So, you know, I find that there's a time sensitivity around divorce, particularly in some of these big money cases, because people can move stuff around. They can set up an asset trust in certain states, and all of a sudden it's like, where did it go? And so I really don't want my clients to be stuck in that place. So it's healing enough, sort of healing light, a lot of education, a lot of walking you through decisions, because I can be there as a, you know, professional decision-making coach to say, I think you're falling into this trap. Let's discuss it in a different way. You know, I know you want to keep the Porsche so you can key it up and have it destroyed, but it is a depreciating asset. So you'd really be better off getting this retirement fund and buy your own brand new Porsche, and you can drive it in front of his house. You know what I mean? Like, there are other ways to. I always say living well is the best revenge. So let's be really smart about choices you're making, financial choices, legal choices, and feel empowered to work with your attorney. Your attorney and your financial advisor are your best friends in divorce. But you need to be in a mindset so that when you have meetings with them, you can be really productive. So get all that chaos out with me. By the time we finish our session, you're going to have an action plan so that when you're talking with your divorce professionals, it's going to be a really productive session. You know, and then if you feel like, oh, that was scary and confusing, great. Then you come back. Then we do some more research, some more education, so that again, you're not paying. I mean, lawyers are really expensive because the work they do is amazing. But some of that education process we can do, you know, on your own time or in a coaching session, which actually makes the divorce more affordable.
Absolutely. So you're a CDFA, you're an author, and you're also a certified divorce coach. So I'm curious, did you become a certified divorce coach because you saw a need in the clients and sort of the role that you could fill? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it actually came, I mean, I'm actually still going through my second divorce. He went on a business trip and didn't come back. So surprise. And, you know, one would think that would leave you bedridden to be walked out on like that at the beginning of a pandemic. But because, you know, in the decade between my first divorce with my children's dad and my second divorce, I've, you know, written a book on decision making. I've, you know, written articles on happiness and goal setting and vision setting. And I've really deepened my understanding for my own purposes of divorce finance. I thought, I wonder if I could do this for other people in a different way. And, you know, that's when I discovered divorce coaching. So I'm like, oh, that's a thing. What I want to do is a thing. So I went and got my certifications, and what an amazing program. And it just deepened, you know, communicating with your client, the pitfalls people make. And so I decided that I would do coaching rather than sort of work as a financial neutral, because I really do feel that the women who surround me in my neighborhood and similar neighborhoods all over the globe, they really do need that person who can say, it's okay, you're not stupid, this is hard stuff. Like, I was an investment banker, and in my first divorce, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't actually know what our financial position is. Like, I've been dealing with little kids. I have really taken my eye off the ball and have no idea what I'm doing. So it's not that you're dumb or unaware. And a lot of the women I work with, their husbands have not been the greatest emotionally. So often they feel like, well, I'm just at home. I just do this. I just spend the money. I'm the one who spends the money. He makes the money. And they feel really terrified to be entering into this situation. And I can say, let's walk through this together.
Mm. So shifting the energy a little bit, although I digress a bit. So this man can't be terribly bright if he's going to divorce a certified divorce financial analyst, a certified divorce coach and specialist with her MBA and an author. I laugh, but I'm hoping you, you yourself, you know, what is it they say about the doctor needs, the doctors are the worst patients. So, it's interesting. I always tease my husband. I'm like, don't even think about it.
I think the men in my neighborhood, they don't like it when they see their wives talking to me. Like, we're just like walking the dogs and, you know, why are you talking about
her? Don't talk to her. Yeah. I love the look I get on people's faces when they ask me for my card or my phone number, and I just happen to hand them my card. And I'm like, if you want to mess with your husband, be sure to leave that card out and by the phone somewhere we can see it.
So. I know. And I almost think I should go to these guys, because I literally see them walking around the neighborhoods talking on the phones to their mistresses. It's like pouring rain. You can tell by the nature of the conversation what it is. And I want to say to them, you should hire me preemptively, almost like a catch and kill story with the tabloids. Because 3 months from now, you're not going to like me very much. You know, I just find it such a beautiful thing to see people go from women to go from a position of feeling like I'm just a housewife, I'm just a this, to launching a business, getting super excited about philanthropic efforts, using money as a really powerful tool to create a good life, not only for their kids and themselves, but I see them doing it for other women, because once you've been through this experience, you know, businesses that people build, they're very woman focused. Like, they want to help other women like themselves. Mm-hmm. So they tend to, you know, build businesses with a mission of hiring other women. Like, I think it's just really cool, the sort of trickle down effect. I'm like, I'm kind of like Robin Hood, you know, I'm going to sort of help reallocate some of the resources so they can be used for good. Like, that's always my overarching mission. Is, you know, don't feel guilty about like taking his money. You contributed to that household. You helped him be successful in his career. You raised the kids. This is joy. I mean, the government and laws didn't just decide to split money like this for a reason. I mean, they recognize there is a real contribution there, and you should not feel guilty for advocating for yourself and using your attorneys and financial experts to get your equitable share and then go on and do something amazing with it.
Yeah. It's very refreshing to hear, because I do hear even some attorneys, you know, kind of rip out that child support calculator and it is what it is and that's what you get and oh well. And, you know, I've seen both points of view. So it is refreshing to hear that. I don't know about you, Sonia. Have you been hearing a little bit of that point of view too, of like, it was shifting? And again, it depends on the type of client. You know, how long have you been married? Are there children? Do you own assets? You know, and that's the beauty of really being able to work with people one-on-one in a private, confidential setting. Every single marriage is unique, just as every divorce will be. So it's not one size fits all. You know, yes, we can be a Band-Aid, Jennifer, but we're not like, you know, even in the box of Band-Aids, there's like the one for a little tiny literally one for like hemorrhaging. So it's going to need to be different. And this is one case I just started to work with this week is I believe they may still have a chance at annulment.
Okay.
And topic for a podcast down the road, Sonia, but I've been having a lot of people ask me about that. How late is too late? And, you know, is that still a possibility? Can you still annul a marriage that's short term? They don't own any property together. They've not had children. Both of them really feel, probably more one than the other, feels a little more disconnected. But is that still a possibility down the road? I don't know. So that's something that I haven't had on my radar lately. Proving the point that every marriage is so unique.
It's so unique. And
some really need that cheerleader, that attorney. Like if it's an uneven playing field, like you mentioned, there is an imbalance of power, psychological power, as well as financial power. You really need a cheerleader and you need a wise, smart, you know, outgoing attorney that will really advocate for you. Because if you're the wallflower in the corner and you don't know your facts and you don't have the voice to actually protect yourself, you really are probably up against a battle, or you're just going to throw in the towel, like you said earlier, and say, screw it and walk away, you know? So I want to make sure we don't lose the train of thought, because it's easy to do with these fun conversations about how to vet a good attorney. So we mentioned attorneys, but that's a big topic. You know, Sonia being an attorney, you being a financial analyst, me being more on the mediation coaching side, we really make a nice whole picture of this process. When and if you need an attorney, and I have to say most people do need one. It's rare that you don't at least need documents looked over, written properly. So how do you actually vet a good attorney for your particular needs?
I mean, for me, I look at the personality of the marriage, because I do find that there are a lot of narcissistic partners out there. Like, you know, there is a dynamic that a lot of, I mean, it's awful to say, but some very successful men get there because they have a personality type that is high conflict. You know, they have a take no prisoners attitude in the boardroom, which can be really great for business. You know, it can be fabulous for business, but it's really awful to divorce. And so, you know, I when I talk to clients, first thing, I do try to get a real sense of, you know, is there a high conflict personality that they're going to be going against? And if so, then I work with my client to figure out the kinds of questions to ask of potential attorneys to find out if they are good with that. Because the last thing you want to do is get into a very kind of collaborative, more mediative type of environment. And then, you know, the attorney starts to be charmed, because if they haven't dealt with narcissistic type personalities before or high conflict personalities, you know, they're very charming when they want something. So, you know, meetings can really go awry. So you want an attorney who understands what it is like to work with high conflict people, and just to be able to flag and say, you know, I don't know what way this is going to go. For the sake of the kids, I would love this to be amicable. But the reality is, you know, in business, he's known as a pit bull. And, you know, I mean, divorce finances is a zero sum game. You know, it's very difficult to grow that pot of money. If you are getting that chunk of money or that asset, he is not getting that chunk of money or that asset. So, you know, a high conflict personality will, you really do see the claws come out in a divorce situation. And so I do like my clients to at least know that it's good to have a very strong attorney who is not scared of like formal discovery process when it comes to financial disclosure, especially if there's lots of money and trusts and things like that. And that the attorney is comfortable in court if it comes to that. Because you see with these high conflict personalities, you know, they'll be flipping lawyers. Sometimes they'll decide to self-represent because they're smarter than anybody else. I mean, it can be a lot of chaos, and you want an attorney who can really handle that. So there are some great attorneys who they can really, I find, tweak their approach depending on how it goes. So, you know, everyone starts out amicable, but then if the other party starts to become very difficult or bullying, you do want an attorney that is strong enough to stand up for that. So, you know, that's kind of the process I go through. And as well asking about financial knowledge. So, you know, some attorneys are like, yep, I mean, this is what I know. This is where I cap out. And so let's work with a financial professional too. And so I like a very collaborative, and I don't mean necessarily collaborative divorce, but a collaborative attorney who is very willing to share information with your financial people, you know, maybe share information with a coach, because you're really going to need a team in these situations. So a good team player who understands high conflict personalities and, you know, can be velvet gloves, but iron fist. That's always one of my kind of favorite expressions in business is velvet glove, iron fist. So we're going to shake hands with a velvet glove. But I like to know that in there is an iron fist if it's required.
Yeah, I think that that's, you know, I always tell clients that when they go in for that initial consultation, you're essentially interviewing that attorney.
Yeah.
And it really comes from a place of sort of balancing out that power and them approaching it with what is their style of communication? Because that also goes into some of these, some clients need a little bit more handholding from the attorney.
Yeah.
Or they bring in a team player, a coach or somebody else to do that. But it's important for clients to really realize, and I wrote an article about this as a divorce attorney, because when you come in for a consultation with me, you should be interviewing me.
Yes.
I'm learning about your situation, but you're learning about me, getting a feel for me, asking me questions. And that client should feel that's okay. And that's what they should be doing.
Yes.
In order for them to make a well-informed decision of, is this the right attorney for me to get to where I want to go?
Absolutely. I will role play it because, you know, attorneys deal with other attorneys. And so they're used to using legalese. And it's like, let's role play. So if they throw out a term that you don't know in the interview, you can say, hey, wait a minute, I don't understand that. Can you explain that to me? And to sort of empower them to really, because it's been a really long time before they, you know, since they've interviewed anybody, they may never have interviewed anybody. They may never have made big hiring decisions. And so it's doing role playing, it's preparing them with questions so that those attorney consultations are very useful.
Exactly. Wow, this was a lot of knowledge here today.
Well, thank you so much, Jen, for spending this time with Sonia and I. We enjoy each week really bringing exceptional women and experts to the platform that we've created to share their expertise. It's not enough to just employ one professional when you're contemplating and surviving and ultimately healing and creating that next chapter that you've so beautifully talked about. If really like the reset button of like, what is my new chapter, my next chapter? Like it's, I wish I had not made the mistake of just hiring one person and saying, okay, well, that's it, one and done. And why I personally went through 8.5 years of litigation and appellate.
Oh my gosh.
So I personally created the work I do, Better Divorce Academy, and the book I wrote, Better Divorce Blueprint, which is with the editor and the publisher in Australia now. And I have 74 videos to create in the next 2 weeks. So the
There's so many great divorce professionals out there. I mean, obviously I deal with them all day long. And I just wish everybody knew about them because there's so many, you know, I hear like attorney horror stories, and yet I know so many great attorneys who really get it, who are empathetic, you know, coaches, financial people who really get it. And so it's just about, you are a consumer in this process. Divorce is not cheap. So, you know, hire a team that supports you, that makes you feel good, that explains things to you. Because divorce doesn't have to be a nightmare. Like the process of self-discovery, learning about your money, getting independence, like it can make you such a better, happier person than you were before the process. But finding the right team is a huge part of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's some of the benefit of what's been happening lately with the shift of the energy with COVID and the pandemic is it's forcing people to come together on a different way than we normally would have. Normally, you live in your bubble, in your city, your town, your county, whatever, your country, right? And we're now kind of forced to re-examine what that looks like. And I have met hundreds of people over the last 7-8 months that I normally wouldn't have if I hadn't done the work I've done. I mean, you and I probably wouldn't have met, Jen.
Absolutely.
And I probably may not have either, although we've known each other a few years now. It's shifting things. So I kind of just want to wrap up this time together with your perspective on how divorce has changed with the last 8-10 months. I've lost track of time. And how do you see it in your perspective? How do you see that the pandemic has changed the process of divorce for good or bad?
Right. I mean, I do get the calls where the spouse is in the next room and now working from home and never traveling. And so, you know, the clients are like, how am I going to figure this out? But by the same token, I'm also seeing clients researching because, you know, they do have their laptop. And you can get on a Zoom call with a professional. So it's no longer where you just go to the main street of your town or, you know, the strip mall in your suburb and sort of hire whatever attorney is there or go to the local wealth manager. Like, you really do have some choice because as long as they understand your jurisdiction, you can have a little bit more flexibility in terms of who you hire. And you can, you know, there's so much research online now, like, you know, so many people reaching out using video, things like this podcast. And so you can become quite educated about the process from your home. You know, you can put your earbuds in and be on your phone or be on your laptop. And your, you know, spouse who maybe you haven't told you want a divorce is in the next room and you can still be educating yourself. And you can even be, you know, you don't have to necessarily leave to interview an attorney now. So sometimes it's easier to interview 3 or 4 because when you're first going through the divorce, like you're tired, you don't have energy, like getting in your car, making the appointment, driving somewhere. You know, now a lot of people are doing Zoom conversations. And so you can sit in your car, but not necessarily have to go somewhere and ask all those questions. And you've got your computer there. If they use a term, you know, you can say, can I just Google that for a minute, you know? So I do encourage clients to try to use all of the education out there, the calls, the podcasts, like take this time to really educate yourself. And also, I mean, it's a bad thing because if you're going through divorce, you can't have all your girlfriends kind of surrounding you right now. But also sometimes that creates noise because they're like, oh, so-and-so got this settlement. You're going to get this or, oh, you'll never get that. Now you can really listen to the professionals because friends are great, but they're not attorneys necessarily. They're not financial experts. They're not coaches. And they love you, but they don't always give the best advice. So sometimes taking this quieter time to research, reflect, think about what do you want? What do you even want to live in the same suburb playing tennis with the same people? Maybe you want a completely different life. And I think now people have a little bit more bandwidth in designing, like, what is 2021 and beyond going to look like? Maybe you don't want it to look anything like 2019. Maybe you don't want it to go back to how it was. So I think that's sort of the gift of this time is it's made a lot of us hit the pause button and really figure out who we are and what we want.
Love it. Yeah. It is forcing us to get quiet in a different way and learning how to mitigate outside influences in a very different manner than we normally would have when even holidays look different. So thank you, Jen. It's so much.
This was amazing. I just love the energy of this. So it was a delight to join you here.
Thank you for sharing your wealth of knowledge. And to anyone out there that is in need of your brilliance with design divorce and your financial wizardry, what's the best way for people to learn about you and reach out to you?
Yeah, if you go on my website, it's got links to everything. You can set up a free consultation call with me. So it's designedpasttensedivorce.com and there's no periods or hyphens or anything in there. So designedivorce.com.
Great. And your book is available where?
The book will be available on Amazon in January. So yeah, and you can see more about that on the website.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Sonia. So great to see you. Happy Friday, everybody. I know these only air on Wednesdays, but we're about a week behind, which is good. So take care, everyone. Be well, be safe. And I know it's a tagline, but it's the truth. You have to keep thriving in the chaos. Thanks for tuning in. And make sure if you want to talk to us or ask us questions, you can always email us at thrivinginchaospodcast@gmail.com. See you next week.